141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Holders Celtic will head to the scene of one of their biggest ever cup shocks after seeing off Partick Thistle. Rangers face a trip to Hamilton in a draw which also sees Lowland League side BSC Glasgow involved. And Hamilton Accies head coach Brian Rice opens up on his gambling addiction. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
It's becoming harder and harder today to talk about the actual game of football. So well done those who excelled on the park at the weekend. A glut of goals, outstanding individual performances and dream draws in the last 16 of the Scottish Cup for the likes of Clyde and BSC Glasgow. Now we've got the resumption of the league championship race to look forward to on Wednesday night. Remember, a draw is a disaster, a defeat is a catastrophe. And if you don't believe that, wait until it's your team who drops the points.
Yeah, been a long couple of weeks, Gordon. Obviously get the cup fixtures out the way. We know what the last 16 draw is, and also we have league football to look forward to on Wednesday, thank God.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need to get in touch tonight. As Alex says, if you're a fan of a top flight club, it probably has been a long couple of weeks, the odd bit of transfer rumour and speculation to keep you going. Now you've got some games, some football, some action, some talking points to get your teeth into, so why not share them with us on the phones or on Twitter. We are there as well, at Clyde SSB. So much to go over from the weekend, which perhaps makes your job maybe a little bit easier, actually, yeah. Because you have some nice choices this weekend for your result of the weekend.
I am going for Bonnyrigg Rose 0, Clyde 1, for the simple reason that you play in the cup if you're a team like Clyde to get the dream draw. And now they've got their dream draw, Clyde versus Celtic.
Yeah, I'm going for BSC, Gordon, purely for the point of view of the job that Stephen Swift's done. First time in the last 16, it's a remarkable achievement.
Yeah, it really is. A Lowland League side in the last 16.
Amazing.
We had both managers in on Wednesday. Unfortunately, one of them had to lose and miss out on that incentive, but well done to the guys at BSC. Now, your goal of the weekend, there were quite a few.
Oh, yeah.
I managed to catch up with the highlights over the weekend, and you were spoiled for choice.
Very, very many honourable contenders. You've got to pick one, and in my case I am going for Callum Booth of St Johnstone in the match at McDermott Park against Morton. 25 yards top left, goodbye.
He sounds convinced. What about yourself, Alex?
Well, listen, it was a fine strike considering it was his weaker foot, Callum Booth, but I have to say Sean Clare eclipses that purely for technique. Dropping out the sky, volleyed it right into the far corner, gave the keeper no chance. Thank you very much.
Okay, now your howler of the weekend. So many games, so many goals, so many refereeing mistakes and defensive lapses and goalkeeping errors and all the rest of it. So I'm interested to see what you're going to come up with for your howler of the weekend.
I've got to go for excessive howling on the part of a referee, Alan Muir at Firhill. He gave a penalty that never was. He didn't give a penalty that was an absolute stonewaller. And pretty much every other decision was questionable as well. Alan, give yourself a shake.
I'm going for a goalkeeper for a change. I'd like to go for the referees and so forth, but I have to go for Jack Hamilton up at Dundee. It was a shocker. He won't thank me for saying it, but it was a dolly. Throw your cap on it, son, and get it going. And unfortunately he's let it skip in.
Now I can't play the clip, unfortunately, because this is a family show, but just to let you in on how strongly Alex feels about that mistake, I was on holiday at the weekend. I was 4 hours ahead, so it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, Hugh. I get a video from Alex. He's been watching the game on television. With the ball slips through Jack Hamilton's grasp, and let's just say Alex was offering his own alternative commentary
to
the incident.
A unique observation
that only he can manage. So I wish I could play it and share it with you, but this would be the final episode ever of Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
You do know that, don't you?
Well, it's staying private. I'm just letting.
I was a wee bit of a shocker.
Yeah, just a little bit of an insight. Right, so let's hear from you. Let's not hang about. 0141 951 1025. This is your chance to have your say. We're going to kick off with your Scottish Cup review show. Some of you haven't had the chance to have your say if you kicked off later on Saturday night or on Sunday. And I'm sure Rangers fans will still have plenty in the back of their minds following Friday night's victory against Stranraer at Ibrox as well. So don't be shy, give us a call on 0141 951 1025. And if you would rather tweet, you can find us at Clyde SSB. The big game on Saturday evening in this part of the world was Partick Thistle against Celtic. Celtic getting the business done in the end to progress, and most notably with a goal from Lee Griffiths. Celtic fans, give us your thoughts on him. He says he's far from finished after a goal scoring return. He says the celebration, sticking his fingers in his ears, was a message to the doubters, and he's had to bite his tongue during a spell on the sidelines.
Yeah, it's always nice to be an associate, but it's just great to be back and starting alone. You know what I mean, I've been training well during the week, you know, playing as a two, and you know, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Came out with confidence, you know, I think my first goal in 4 months. It's just probably the longest I've went without scoring. So, but it's nice just to, you know, be back in the team and help the boys get a positive result.
The celebration there, just a wee message to people who are doubting you, maybe?
Correct. There's a lot of pundits and, you know, ex-pros that, you know, think my time at Celtic's finished, and you know, that's a message to me. You know, it's the only way I can shut them up by scoring goals and playing well. My time at Celtic's far from finished, believe me. And hopefully this is just the start of a good run. I had to bite my tongue, I'm not going to lie. I keep seeing the same things on social media and get sent the same things, and you know, I really have to bite my tongue because it's not nice to see. And I wish people would just, you know, let me go on with my game and let me, you know, just play football. But it seems that everybody wants to talk about me, and you know, people bringing, the Celtic bringing other strikers in, which means I'm finished at the club. But you know, today I've showed that, you know, I'm still around, I can still score goals and play well.
Lee Griffiths says he's far from finished. Celtic fans, what did you make of his contribution? What do you make of those comments? 01419511025.
Well, if revenge is motivation, then that's fine. All is fair in love and war. It was, I think, his answer to the arrival of Patrick Klimala, to suggest that he, Lee Griffiths, is not third in the pecking order. He is still very much second or even first in the pecking order. Now he has to go on from here. At Kilmarnock on Wednesday night, Celtic will be required to pull out a performance against the Kilmarnock side, who get 6 goals at the weekend. Celtic don't like artificial surfaces. So well done, Lee Griffith. As I say, if revenge is your motivation, fine. But, you know, the pundits can take it, the ex-pros can take it. Now you have to go on and do it on a consistent level.
Yeah, listen, it's good to see him back playing. It's been a tough 18 months for him. He's been through his personal issues, and on the back of that, you're going to have doubters. Part of the thing is the people at Celtic believe in him. He's still there. A lot of people are saying he was going to go out on loan, so it's a case of him just knuckling down. Don't worry about the doubters, because they will always be there regardless. So the only way you're going to knock that is by focusing on your own job, scoring goals and playing regularly for Celtic.
Neil Lennon described Celtic as vibrant against Partick Thistle on Saturday. He was happy to see Lee Griffiths back. He says the referee made the wrong decision on the late penalty they conceded.
Very good start, dominant performance. I don't think the scoreline reflected our dominance of the game. Really disappointed with the penalty decision at the end. We are as a group. Didn't think it was a penalty. However, we played vibrantly, you know, we changed the shape of the team. It was good intensity to our play. Just overplayed a little bit in the final third at times, but overall, I'm very, very happy.
And great to have Lee Griffiths back and score a goal.
Delighted for him, yeah, he's been looking sharp and played well, scored a good goal, striker's goal, so I'll do him the power of good. I was pleased with a lot of things about the individuals tonight as well, and obviously, we lost Neer early in the game, and Joseph came in and did a fine job. Looked like he'd never been out of the team, really. Bit of game time for Klimala and Arzani as well, so it's been a decent night for us.
I guess without being at their sparkling, blistering best, you, it's another result which just continues that incredible cup run for Celtic. You now almost can't remember the last time they failed to win a cup game, and on it goes, on to the next round where they face Clyde. We all remember the infamous trip to Broadwood.
Absolutely. 32 cup games in a row without defeat for Celtic. Astonishing. 33, as you say, would have to be achieved at Broadwood, where a Celtic team containing no less than Roy Keane perished against a Clyde team managed by the old firm duo of Graham Roberts and Wee Joe Miller. I'll always remember the day. But with regard to Saturday night's match at Firhill, if the scoreline does not reflect your dominance, then you have to take part of the responsibility for that, because Celtic were over elaborate at times. But it's the first game back after a 3 week break. We saw Rangers on Friday night stutter back into action. Celtic weren't quite as stuttering as that. They got the job done, and with a bit more excitement. But they now have to pick up very quickly at Kilmarnock on Wednesday.
So Celtic fans, what about the performance? What about the contribution from Lee Griffiths? Maybe even the referee is on your mind. Let us know. 01419511025. Let's kick it off with Archie, who is a Celtic fan on the line. What did you make of it, Archie?
Yeah, I just thought it was nice to see Lee back. It was a good goal we scored. But I think now, until the end of the season, we should start playing two forwards every game now, because every point is vital now if you want to keep the run going in the cups as well. Because we need to get these, make sure we get victories and not slip up any points. And also the referee, well, my God. First of all, he gave a penalty that wasn't a penalty. And he also rubbed salt into the wind by booking Frimpong. Why didn't he send him off? He's the last man.
Well, if the referee judges it to be a genuine attempt to play the ball, then it would be a yellow card. That's yep. If he judges it that way. You know, this whole yeah. double jeopardy type situation, it changed a couple of seasons ago. So if it's a genuine attempt to play the ball, you get away with a yellow, if that's the right phrase. Probably not. But if you pull someone back or there is no genuine attempt, then the red card would still yeah. fall. What did you make of those two decisions that Archie's unhappy with?
The penalty should never have been awarded, Gordon. I don't think Frimpong made pretty minimal contact, to say the least. And even the player Ruddin, who went to ground, didn't even
Was it Zanata?
Zanata didn't for me, I just thought to myself, how's he come to that conclusion? And in terms of the giving a red, if he felt as if he made a genuine attempt, the yellow card would have sufficed. But to be honest with you, it shouldn't even have came to that, because it was not a penalty.
I know it's getting harder and harder, as I said in the introduction, to talk about the actual game of football today, because we're always submerged in club statements and rows breaking out between rival fans. However, we had the criticism of Willie Collin in the Betfred Cup final. We had the criticism of Kevin Clancy in the Celtic Rangers match on December 29. And now criticism of Alan Muir. And Alan Muir deserves it. He had a very poor night. My general point about all of this, Gordon, is that we are now about to embark on the back half of a league season that will come to a tumultuous end. Referee decisions are going to play a part in this, I can't help but feel. We don't have VAR here. Therefore, the naked eye is calling the shots here. And the naked eye is making an awful lot of mistakes.
Archie, what about the midfield then? Who misses out? Because you want to see two strikers playing, so someone's going to have to give. Something's going to have to give somewhere. Who's going to miss out?
Well, we're up to the manager, but we need to play two forwards, because two forwards have got a better double chance of scoring. And Lee Griffiths is, I think this boy could win the championship for Celtic.
Ah, that's not the way it works, though, Archie, is it? Look at Celtic in the last three seasons playing with one striker. I don't think they've been struggling to score goals over that period, have they?
I know what you're saying, but we slipped up already this season at Hamilton. And we can't do that. We've got to just. I think we should be playing two forwards, because any other big team in each league should be playing two forwards as well. It's just crazy, this one forward carry on. Just sacrifice a midfielder and get two.
Archie, yeah. Celtic have been very dominant in the last 3 years. I think they've won 9 trophies in the bounce. Well, they've obviously won that one again at the start of this year with one striker. Why would they change now?
Because Rangers are a lot stronger, that's why. We're only a point in front of them, that's why.
Yeah, but that's but surely, Archie, playing
because we've got good strikers there. Lee Griffiths and Edward are good strikers, and hopefully these young boys coming as well.
Yeah, but it's not always appropriate to play two strikers. And also, to say, Archie, that Lee Griffiths will win Celtic the title, that is putting so much unfair and undue pressure on his shoulders. He's trying to make sure that he gets a game. So
The thing is as well, sorry Hugh, I've just, the thing is as well, they've just paid £3.5 million for a guy.
Yeah, Kamala.
So he'll be looking to play some sort of part. He's already in record as saying he's not coming here to be a number two. Uh-huh. But he'll have to go some to try and get in front of Edward.
By the way, just to be clear, Archie doesn't, that doesn't necessarily mean Archie's wrong. If Archie wants to see two strikers, then that's absolutely fine. But I'm just trying to guard against this automatic assumption that the more strikers you play, the more goals you score. Otherwise, everybody would just
Gordon, see the way
play
that
as many as possible.
Sorry, see the way that they played at the weekend, Hugh. I think it was partly to do with the lack of width that they had at their disposal. I think Mikey Johnson, Elanusi's injured. You know, they may have rested James Forrest, but I think Forrest will most certainly come back into the mix as well, Hugh.
Arzani, you know, we've got mixed enough to go on, but I remember Arzani's debut at Dens Park, and he looked very good in the wide position before the unfortunate injury.
What do you make of the draw, Archie? Does that still send shivers down your spine thinking of a trip to Clyde?
Oh, I'm going to bed. I don't want a nightmare. Don't give me nightmares tonight, whatever you do.
You can understand why, Hugh. It was just one of those. It will stand out forever as one of the great cup shocks. It had so many subplots to it as well, which I'm sure we'll delve into between now and then with Roy Keane and everything else that surrounded the fixture.
I remember Douay made his debut and was never seen again after that one. It happens every now and then in the Scottish Cup. Not just a shock, a mild shock. This was high on the Richter scale. I mean, Neil Lennon was in the team that day, so he'll remember it well. As I say, Roy Keane in a Celtic jersey losing against Clyde. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I remember it well. It was one of the big shocks. And I have to be honest with you, I think the big thing for Clyde here is the money they will generate from this tie. Yeah. Maybe keep them going and give them an opportunity to bounce up a division, because with the personnel that Celtic have, I just can't see it.
Thank you very much to Archie for kicking us off tonight. You can join in 0141 951 1025 at Clyde SSB on Twitter. It was a slightly different look to the Rangers team on Friday. A few guys given a chance. Who took their chance? Who didn't take their chance? You tell us. 0141 951 1025. We'll hear from one of those youngsters and from Stephen Gerrard next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Cancer. Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Looking back on an exciting Scottish Cup weekend, always is one of the highlights of the Scottish football calendar. Boyce's on Twitter, looking back in the Celtic game, he says, "I'm still not happy with the defence, guys. Far too many errors in the back four. Starting to get nervous for the first time in years. I can see us dropping points. Here's hoping Lenny has an ace or two up his sleeve." And Robert Neary's thinking back to that game at Clyde, Hugh. He says, "I was sitting on the runway at Edinburgh Airport waiting to deploy to Iraq that day. Glad to say the tour went better than the game."
We're all glad to hear you're still with us.
Absolutely.
With regard to Boyce's point, for me, you know, Julien can look lackadaisical at times and weak. And it wasn't a penalty when Dario Zanata and Jeremy Frimpong came together, but there would have been no incident to deal with at all if Julien had done his job properly. And I look at Kilmarnock at the weekend, 4 of their 6 goals came from headers. Celtic will have to be particularly vigilant when it comes to that side of the game at Rugby Park. And the main point, Celtic almost look visibly pained when they have to play in these surfaces that should never be allowed in the first place.
Alex, the weekend started, of course, on Friday night at Ibrox. Rangers getting the job done. What about the impact of certain fringe players when you get a team like that, when there's a couple of guys you don't often see? The question is always going to be who took their chance and who didn't take their chance. Could you throw a few names for either category?
I thought young Patterson did very well, Gordon, and it was an ideal situation. We often say this about young players making a debut or playing at home for the Old Firm. It suited him down to the ground because he have so much of the ball. He's bombing forward, didn't have a lot to do defensively, but in the main I thought he'd done himself proud. Jordan Jones didn't quite hit the ground running, disappointing, but you have to factor in he hasn't played for nigh on 4 months, so he wasn't brilliant. Barker, Ojo, come on, never really had a big impact in the game. I think part of the problem is you'd 7 changes and it actually showed. I think when you look back over the course of this weekend, Rangers stuttered, Celtic weren't great. Aberdeen weren't great on the day either. And a lot of these clubs coming back and they're not hitting the ground the way they were before the winter break. But they have to hit the ground running this Wednesday, Gordon. So, you know, they'll be looking at, for me, I think all the big guns will come back on Wednesday for Rangers.
Well, Rangers fans, what did you make of it? Who took their chance? Who didn't? Nathan Patterson says he's hoping to grab more first team opportunities whilst James Tavernier's out injured. He said he had butterflies going into his debut and called it a surreal experience.
Yeah, it was surreal, great. Walking out in front of 40,000 fans and the club I love, so it's just a great feeling. Over in Dubai, I just done what I had to do, just done my best, played the football I needed to play. Obviously got the start against Lokomotiv Tashkent and I done well, and I just hoped that was enough to get the starting place against Sunra.
How were the nerves going into the game?
I had butterflies all day, but walking out the tunnel, they just gone and I was just buzzing to get going.
You're obviously filling in for the captain, James Tavernier, when he was out injured. Are you hoping that this could maybe be a chance for the next 2, 3, 4 games, if he is out injured, for you to grab your chance?
Hopefully I'm just taking each day as it comes along, just doing my best, and hopefully I can just take any opportunity that comes my way. I've just shown that I can obviously play in front of the 40,000 fans and hopefully more, but it's just what I want to hear, what to be doing, so it's great. I always try to make an impression, no matter if he's in the team or not. I've just trying to do what I need to do and hopefully I can get as far as I can.
Bill is a Rangers fan from Renfrew. What did you make of him? Bill, was he one that caught your eye? What did you think overall?
See, to be honest, we overall, right, okay, fair enough, Rangers have just come back from a 3-week stint in the sun. In all fairness, I think Stranraer deserves a wee bit of credit for actually running out and making a good fist of the game. They're a lesser league team, and I feel that Hugh Keevans's comment that Rangers stuttered was a bit unfair. They did, as a lower league team, give a good fist of it. They came out and played it as if it was a cup final.
Well, when the Rangers manager could come into his press conference after the game and say he was bored watching it, and he's the Rangers manager, I think I can rest my case.
It was just my opinion on the game here, and that's, as I said, I'd like to think I'm a fair football supporter.
Yeah.
So I think they deserve a wee bit of credit for their run out.
Well, listen, they are 6 points adrift at the bottom of League One. I think there are a number of contributions that go to the making of a game that bores the Rangers manager. And high among them, higher than Stranraer, was the lack of entertainment from Rangers. I repeat, I do respect that you have your opinion, but I think you overplay your hand. This was Stranraer we're talking about, including a striker who 4 weeks ago was playing in the juniors, and a team who in general should have been lambs to the slaughter there. So I don't think you can let your own team off the hook. And I repeat and underline, when the manager of Rangers can come in and allow himself to be quoted as saying, "I was bored watching it," I rest my case.
Bill, what about some of the guys that came in, maybe that we've not seen in a while? Young Nathan Patterson was one of them. Alex mentions a couple of others, Brandon Barker, Jordan Jones. Was there anyone that caught your eye?
There wasn't really anybody that caught my eye. As I said, I mean, fair enough, I've come back from a 3-week stint in the sun, but I was more interested to give Stranraer a little bit of an applause for the run out that they gave on Friday night.
Yeah, I think that's fair as well.
I was actually at the game, and listen, these guys are part-time. A lot of them are coming straight from work, 3 o'clock, pre-match, and then running out in front of 40,000. There's a lot of nervous energy, and they defended manfully. You know, they were throwing themselves in front of the ball and so forth, and that's from their point of view. You have to give them credit, but from a Rangers perspective, Rangers have to do so much more. I think people were going to the game and looking for at least 5, 6, with the greatest respect to Stranraer, because of the level. You know, you look at some of the players in show, they should have been so much more. And when you look at the goals that Rangers did score, one was for a corner, and it was obviously a good movement by Jermaine Defoe that sucks the boy in for the penalty. And I think fatigue was shown at that time. But I think Steven Gerrard will be disappointed because his standards are high. That's the reason why he's bored.
He was bored. I think you've pretty much heard it from Hugh. He paraphrased it quite nicely. But let's hear from the Rangers manager talking about the fringe players as well. Nathan Patterson featuring heavily in his thoughts, as you would imagine.
The priority was to get in the hat for the next round. So I'm pleased about that. I'm pleased about the clean sheet. I'm pleased about the 5th win on the spin. Outside of that, I feel pretty flat. And for large periods of the game, I was quite bored watching it. And I think our fans have come tonight really excited and hoping that the players can really go out and put a show on and entertain them over the course of 90 minutes. Unfortunately, we never delivered that. I think if you're outside the 11 at the moment and you're waiting patiently for an opportunity and it comes against a team that is a couple of leagues below, with all due respect, it's a good opportunity for people to go and show me that they're going to affect the 11. Some people didn't take that opportunity tonight. I was really pleased with young Nathan Patterson. I thought it was a very positive home debut for a kid his age. He was only really been around the first team for a short period of time. Everything I asked of Nathan in Dubai, everything I've asked of him in the days leading up to this game, he went out and tried to do that. So I'm very pleased for him. Pleased for young Kai getting a debut as well, but I wanted to give him 30 minutes. I wanted to give him more time and more of a taste of it. Unfortunately, I didn't have that luxury. So I'm pleased with a few things tonight, obviously, but I'm really disappointed and flat with some things as well.
Craig is also a Rangers fan on the line. What did you make of fringe players like Nathan Patterson and those who also fall into that bracket, Craig? Who took their chance, who didn't?
I think Patterson definitely took his chance. You know, the boy, he played well enough in the wee friendly game that he played as well over the winter break. Personally, I think when I look at the options we've got, if Tavernier's injured, in certain games, particularly, you know, St Mirren at Ibrox coming up, I would see no reason why not to give him another opportunity, because that's a game, with the greatest respect to St Mirren, that I think, you know, Rangers should, you know, be able to take that kind of, I don't want to say risk, because I don't think it is a risk, I think the game itself, you know, I mean, Gerrard's right, and it was a bit of a boring watch. But, you know, I think we also have to, because I feel like there's been over-criticism to a degree, because it's not as if Sternard were ever actually in the game. They didn't have a single shot in the whole match, really. There should have been more than two goals for Rangers, but it's difficult when you're playing any team, no matter what level, who put nine men behind the ball, which Sternard, and I'm not criticising them for that, because of course they're going to do that, did. It wasn't ideal, it's about getting the job done in the first game back. You know, I mean, I watched the Celtic game. That wasn't any better. You know, Celtic actually, despite their tolerance, and the fact they actually played a stronger squad than Rangers, because they had both Griffiths and Edward up front, they were lucky, because Kenny Miller, just before half-time, missed an absolute sitter. That if he scores, all of a sudden Celtic could find themselves going in at half-time.
The old whataboutery. Listen, Celtic were no great shakes, I didn't think.
I didn't realise we had started a competition as to see which of the two was the most comfortable.
But Craig has taken us down that road. All I'd say to Craig is, look, you don't need to go to all these lengths. Rangers just didn't play well enough against Stranraer. The manager said flat, disappointed, bored. How many more times they got to tell you it wasn't very good? So, never mind praising plucky little Stranraer for their efforts. And never mind, well, what about Celtic though? They weren't any better. You know, just, it's okay to go at the game and say, you know what? It's like Stephen Gerrard said, we're in the hat. But it wasn't very pretty, was it?
Stephen Gerrard, it seems, Alex, is quite consistent on these things though. Yes. Because it would have been easy for him to say, well, we got the job, you know, to focus mostly on getting the job done. Is this how... is this about trying to keep standard? You know, what's the reason for it? Because he is quite critical of them at times when they have won games.
Yes, for me, that's one of the aspects I like about Steven Gerrard. He tells you how it is. He doesn't try and sugarcoat it. He has demands on the players, Gordon, and when they fall below it, he has no shame in going, that's not what I'm looking for. Yeah. I'm bored. So the thing is, they know that they have to do better come Wednesday. Now, I think they had a bounce game against Queen of the South. For five or six of the guys, the mainstay will come back into the team, and the others who were the fringe players will probably be looking from the bench from now on, because the starting 11 more or less picks itself, and one or two will have sporadic spells in the team if there's an injury or a suspension. But they have to do more than he did against Stranraer.
Craig, what do you make of the draw? I know sometimes at this stage you're looking for something a bit different, a trip to somewhere you've not been in a while. Alex Ray was doing the draw, so he couldn't deliver that for you, but it's a trip to Hamilton.
Listen, I thought the draw was great. I've got to, first and foremost, give a nod. You know, being a coming old boy, Clyde getting Celtic, you know, I certainly follow Clyde, so I'll probably go to that game because it's just on the road for me. But Rangers going to Hamilton, I think if both didn't get into the quarter final, something would have to go wrong, because even though Rangers are playing Hamilton, who are Premier League outfit, and I, you know, listen, to be fair to Hamilton, you know, they can make it a tough place to go. I mean, it was the last time Celtic went, it was only 1-0. Rangers have had a few 1-0s in the past there as well, so nothing's guaranteed. But I think when I saw the draw, particularly as the numbers were going down and Rangers were still in, I was convinced that Alec Gray was going to draw his Pittodrie against Aberdeen or something.
Yeah, I was worried myself.
I thought to myself, well, here we go. But I think most people, I think, would be quite happy with that draw. You know, you see what happens in the day, but certainly what I would say, against Hamilton, I think it will, you know, we will need to play a wee bit better than Stranraer, because Hamilton are a better team. It's away from home, and in those kind of surfaces, you know, there's nothing saying Hamilton couldn't sneak a wee goal and make it more difficult.
So. Okay, Craig, we're going to have to leave it there, because I want to squeeze one more in before the travel, but thank you very much for your call. James is a Rangers fan in Kings Park. What's on your mind tonight, James?
Hi, panel. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
It's just a call in regards to Nathan Patterson. I've saw him a couple of times now. I watched him in the game against Wrexham in the cup.
Yep.
I thought he was really impressed me the last couple of times, and obviously with Tavernier now being injured, would you play him on Wednesday against Sittman?
Absolutely, James. James, I would, and I'll tell you the reason being is that, you know, the one thing that stood out for me watching the game against Stranraer was the importance of Barisic and Tavernier to the way Rangers play, because they're two wide guys in, of the front three, come in narrow and they bomb forward, and what they do is they try and get overloads in the middle of the park, get the opposition to narrow in.
So can Patterson do that against St Mirren, you think?
Gordon, he done it very, very well, particularly in the first half the other night. He was just the switch of play, taking it out of his feet and then wrapping it around the face, and that's exactly what they'll be looking to do. Obviously it'll be a tougher challenge defensively, because St Mirren will have the ball at some stage, whereas Stranraer didn't have too much. So I would expect him to play, because the thing is, you're asking maybe Flanagan to come in, and he's as solid a defender as you'll get, but does he give you that dynamic up and down that right side? I'm not sure.
James, of course you have to deserve it first, completely get that, but is this a player that you would like to see Rangers make a sort of conscious effort to try and integrate him into that first team more? Because Tavernier plays all the time, let's be honest. He's only out for a couple of weeks and he plays pretty much every single game. Do you think there's scope in the second half of the season to introduce Nathan Patterson a little bit more? Maybe it's 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, the odd occasion if James Tavernier's a bit below par. Is that something you think could happen in the second half?
Definitely, but I think he needs first team football every week to progress. A bit like Kieran Tierney when at Celtic, when he first came through, he's played every week, whereas if Ljubic comes on for 20 minutes, half an hour, I'd rather him go out and loan and play maybe a top half championship team or maybe a lower half premiership team. But I mean, and this has all come from Murray and Lovenkrantz. The work they're doing with the youth system at the moment is fantastic. You've got guys like Patterson, Mayo, Imbued. You've got loads of young players coming through, and see players that aren't performing, like Sir Robert Jones. Would you draw them out of the first team and replace them with a youth player?
Well, Gordon, you said you have to deserve it. Nathan Patterson clearly deserved to play against Stranraer, and in Stephen Gerrard's estimation, I think he would be thinking, if he's good enough for that, he's good enough to play against St Mirren on Wednesday as well.
Okay, James in Kings Park, thank you very much. This is the ideal time to get your calls in. We're going to get some travel with Stephen, and then we could be speaking to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A couple of ways for you to get in touch. You can give us a call on the usual number or send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Lots of tweets coming in, actually. Let's see what's out there from Stephen. He says Nathan Patterson made an excellent debut, particularly the first half when he put several great balls into the box, hardly wasted a pass, very mature, dropped out a bit in the second, but a great one in the future. Is that always the message, Alex? You can be cautiously pleased, you acknowledge that it was Stranraer, you acknowledge that there was a drop off in the second half, and you can be happy without getting carried away. That's probably the message, isn't it?
Gordon, the analysis that the chap just said there is absolutely spot on. I thought in the first half he was excellent, and I think it was a combination of Rangers being a bit sloppy in general, and I think Patterson was similar to that as well. I loved listening to Patterson there. See when he was talking about the excitement here of before the game, yeah, the butterflies, the family there. It actually took me back to my debut when I was playing Falkirk versus Dunfermline. It was a local derby and I was up against your old pal Ian McCall.
Yeah.
And I remember I was 17, you're making your debut, the excitement. He'll never forget that day, you know, for the rest of his life. It's amazing.
Dr. Grant Campbell's on Twitter, Hughie. He says a very poor game at Pittodrie on Saturday. Aberdeen, yep, short of ideas, needed Cosgrove to break down a well stubborn Dumbarton side. As an aside, well done to the Red Army on the Merkland Red Shed experiment. That looked a real success. You're always kind of looking for the giant killing, the banana skin, all the usual cliches come out. I don't know if we really got one. Air knocked Ross County out, Championship, yeah, against Premiership. So that, yeah, you know, that has to go down as one. Is that about as close as we got?
Yeah, Ross County, shocking away form. I think that was the 12th away game in a row without a win. With regard to Dumbarton at Pittodrie, I thought they were going to get that replay, but Alec kept saying on Saturday, you know, that tiredness will kick in.
That's right.
And then the mind gets tired. And when the mind gets tired, the leg gets tired. And it was a kind of
lazy one
leg. Yeah. And, you know, Jim Duffy, the manager, a real sickening blow for him. As I said about Rangers against Stranraer, it's okay to say the result was better than the performance. And in Aberdeen's case, that was certainly true.
Coming off the back of a couple of weeks, though, where there is potential for rustiness, and the lower league managers will all be shouting at the radio saying, oh, is that right? Some rustiness, you get away and get to sun yourself. We would love that. Fine. Oh. You know, I do accept that. But sometimes you do see it, the teams don't come back flying the way they perhaps should. But the likes of Motherwell, Kilmarnock, Hearts, Hamilton Accies, all facing just slightly tricky ties in their own way, but all actually coming through them really comfortably. You know, Motherwell winning by 3, Hamilton by 5, Hearts by 5, Kilmarnock by 6. So there were no real scares there.
Yeah, I think it's just about how the dynamic of the game goes, because if you get a couple of goals early doors, it's soul destroying for the smaller club, and the you know, the stronger teams get stronger and they just steamroll the opposition. And listen, I don't think there's any rhyme or reason. Going back to your point there, in terms of most people would love that winter break, if you're taking 3 weeks off and you're not playing competitive football, once you come back there's a potential that you could actually be kind of stuttering. But it's important to get up and running when it really matters, Gordon. They've all got through in the ties. This Wednesday is a real deal. You're back to business.
I think when you're a Kilmarnock playing a Queen's Park or a Hearts playing an Airdrie, people will absolutely slaughter you if anything happens. If it's a replay, or worse still, if they put you out, you will be slaughtered. So when they win by an aggregate 11-0, I think you have to give them due credit.
Barry's a Celtic fan in Barrhead. What did you make of it at the weekend, Barry? What about the draw that lies ahead?
The Clyde game should be interesting, you know. Hopefully not a banana skin like it was a few years back. But my point being today is, I thought the game Saturday, I thought Celtic were very disjointed. It looked to me like it was 11 players that had the same shirt on. It didn't look like a team. Even when we scored after 12 minutes, I thought, right, maybe we'll go on here, crack on, we'll score a few more, but it just didn't pan out that way. Partick Thistle had a couple of good chances, and another day Kenny Miller would have scored at the back post. And I just get this feeling that Celtic have got this opinion that they turn up and they win, you know. There doesn't seem to be a kind of a will to win. I didn't see it against Rangers either. I didn't see the kind of, you know, the eye of the tiger.
Ruthless. That's the word you're looking for, ruthless.
Yeah.
Well, Barry, why do you think Neil Lennon doesn't sound too concerned? He actually sounded pretty positive, pretty happy about the way things went on Saturday. Why do you think that might be?
I think he's got to be. You know what I mean? He's got to be positive. But again, with this Celtic board, again, I'm having to question him, and people are going to slaughter me for saying, oh, she's a one.
Barry, why are you questioning the board?
Because I don't think why does Celtic buy a 21-year-old Polish striker that's not really done much?
Do you know what Celtic have spent in the last two transfer windows?
I know, it's been a lot.
Must
be close to about 20 million.
20 million quid? I don't know when the last time Celtic spent that kind of money here in two windows. And they're not done yet.
Well, didn't call them windows then, but when Martin O'Neill came, they immediately put out £20 million on Hearts and Sutton.
So there you go. So 20 years ago then?
90. Martin came here 20 years ago, yeah. But the Barry's right in a sense that, you know, it was all a bit disjointed on Saturday night. However, we're saying the same thing of Rangers, we're saying the same thing of Aberdeen. Why it happens, only they know. I just think that sometimes Neil Lennon puts a positive spin on it. You know, and managers are like to approach it in their own way. Steven Gerrard said he was flat, disappointed and bored. Neil Lennon said he thought Simunovic came back in and did very well. Sorry, don't think so. And there were aspects of the performance that were not great, and they will have to be much better at Kilmarnock on Wednesday.
What about individuals, Barry? Who stood out for you, whether it be in a positive or a negative sense? You decide who stood out either way.
I actually thought Rogic was getting back his best. A couple of good touches, you know. It looked like the Rogic of old, and that's what I was hoping. You know, he opened up defences. He does that half turn where he kind of takes a player out of the game. He opens up the game a wee bit more. But I don't know. It's hard to put your finger on. I just felt as if Celtic just won it at the races. I mean, you're right in what you're saying. You know, Rangers were the same, Aberdeen were the same. But for a team that's, you know, streets ahead of everybody else, and in regards to who we're playing in the Scottish Cup, I just felt as if it wasn't.
Put it this way, Barry. You get away with it against Partick Thistle because, you know, they're fighting relegation. You've at the end of the day, you've got much better players than they have. And worst case scenario, you get them back at your place for a replay. However, come Wednesday night, now we're into all bets are off territory. And I repeat, and I stand by it. And I know I irritate people when I say it, but it's true.
You don't irritate people.
A draw is a disaster and a defeat's a catastrophe. And Barry, you know, if Celtic leave anything behind at Rugby Park, could be fatal.
On the positive side of things, Alex, I'm noticing a bit of a theme actually, because Barry makes the point. A few people on Twitter, Token Jesters, one, he says a big plus was Tom Rogic.
Absolutely.
So already a player Rangers and their fans fear could be an ace up the sleeve for the rest of the season if he can stay fit. Certainly for the foreseeable, you know, in the absence of Ryan Christie, Neil Lennon could be doing with the old Tom Rogic.
Yeah, without doubt. I thought he was excellent the weekend, Gordon. I thought the way he drifts into areas, he's through balls, he's way to pass. He's just a very intelligent footballer, and it's been too long that we haven't seen him, you know, from a Celtic perspective. He's actually hitting form at the right time, Hugh. I know it's only one game, but with Christie being out, because if he was fit, Christie, most certainly he would play in front of him. But what he can do in the meantime is give the manager a dilemma when he comes back.
Good man, Barry. Hopefully we'll speak to you soon. It's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
What a way to kick off the new week. Your chance to beat the pundit. Hugh, apparently, I'm hearing, word reached me in the Middle East that you were the first pundit to lose in 2020 on Friday night. Can you confirm or deny?
Well, I can absolutely confirm, but it was a carve-up because the chap who won was given the point for saying Henderson without giving any Christian name for Henderson.
And so, what was the question?
Who had gone to Empoli in Serie B?
Oh, how many Hendersons are playing in Serie B? Come on,
see,
you've got to give him Henderson.
I mean, this is what I'm up
come
against.
Come on. Anyway,
what is Claire White's number?
This is your chance to beat the pundit tonight. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now. You come on, you answer more questions right than Hugh or Alex, and you win a signed ball. It's as simple as that. But you must call us before 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompsons.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here. We kicked off looking back on a busy weekend in the Scottish Cup over Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So if you've any thoughts on the games over the weekend, do get in touch on the phones or on Twitter. And after we play Beat the Pundit, we're going to look at a big story come out of Hamilton Accies this morning. Brian Rice opening up on his gambling addiction. Hamilton Accies boss issuing a statement. Well, the club issuing a statement on his behalf. He will face a Scottish FA hearing next week after reporting himself for gambling on football. So if you've got any thoughts, any support perhaps for Brian Rice, any similar experiences, anything you could suggest how we tackle these things within our game, let's take them all. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now and we could be speaking to you next.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Hugh Keevan's the first pundit to lose this decade when he lost on Friday. He's a sore loser. He says it was a carve-up. Let's see if we can have a bit more of a controversy-free evening. Gary's in Uddingston tonight. How are you, Gary?
Hello.
If you fancy your chances, Gary, do you think you can maybe turn it into a bit of a losing streak for Hugh Keevan's? Get under his skin?
I'll get a bash.
Get a bash.
I'm just telling you, Alex.
Well, I'm going to toss the coin anyway and see who it is. It might well be Alex. He might be letting Hugh off the hook. So heads it's Hugh, tails it's Alex. And it is heads, Hugh. You need to bounce back. What is it you say? A defeat's a... What's your phrase? A draw is
a draw is a disaster. Yeah, yeah. A defeat's a catastrophe.
Well, what's two defeats in a row then?
Your books
are unlikely.
So that's what's staring you in the face on Beat the Pundit. Gary, I'm going to give Hugh some Clyde 2 in his ear, and that way he can't hear what you're saying. You've got 30 seconds, Gary. You're going to go head to head with Hugh. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. Are you ready?
Yes.
Right, let's do it, Gary. Which club has Jamie Murphy joined on loan?
Burton Albion.
How many assists did Chris Burke get for Kilmarnock against Queen's Park on Saturday?
Six.
Louis Moult moved from Motherwell to where?
Aberdeen.
Who scored Celtic's second goal in the 2-1 win against Partick Thistle?
Lee Griffiths.
Which Hibs player swapped his international allegiance from Switzerland to Albania?
Pass.
Which Scottish football stadium was the first to feature a dugout? Which Scottish football stadium was the first to feature a dugout?
Hamden.
Okay, let's bring Hugh back. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
You can, great. Same set of questions to you. You ready?
Okay.
Let's do it. What club has Jamie Murphy joined on loan?
Burton Albion.
How many assists did Chris Burke have in Kilmarnock's win against Queen's Park?
Six.
Louis Moult moved from Motherwell to where?
Pass.
Who scored Celtic's second goal in the 2-1 win against Partick Thistle?
It was... It'll come to me in a second. Pass.
Which Hibs player has swapped his international allegiance from Switzerland to Albania?
Camberry.
Which Scottish football stadium was the first to feature a dugout?
Partick Thistle.
Okay.
Who scored Celtic's second goal?
You'll find out in a second. Gary, he sounded quite nervous there. I think you rattled him.
No, I think he may have got me by the hamstring.
Do you think so? Let's find out exactly what the damage was. What club has Jamie Murphy joined on loan? Burton Albion. Yeah. You both got that, so it was a good start. Gary, you continued your good start. Chris Burke, just the 6 assists for Kilmarnock at the weekend. Incredible.
Yes.
You ever heard of a player having that many?
Never.
No.
It was a remarkable one. I spoke to him today, and he says when he was taking the corner for the 5th one, Gordon, the announcement came up and says Stuart Findlay's won man of the match, and he looked around the crowd and went, "You've got to be joking."
6 assists in one game.
I know, but terrific. Yeah.
Brilliant. You both got it right anyway. Louis Moult moved from Motherwell to
Preston.
So none of you got that right. None of you inexplicably got Callum McGregor.
Honestly, you
sometimes it just goes blank. Was this a guess? The Hibs player that swapped his international allegiance from Switzerland to Albania?
An absolute guess.
It was a good one. Florian Camberry moved you 3-2 in front, which means it all comes down to the last one. Gary needs it to equalise. Which Scottish football stadium was the first to feature a dugout? Gary went for Hampden, you went for Firhill. Uh-huh. The answer is Pittodrie.
Oh,
I had Hibs.
There you go. But you'll never forget that, Gary. There's a bit of knowledge you can take as a gift from us. I'm afraid it was a 3-2 defeat. Hard lines, Gary.
Thanks very much.
Gary's blown kisses.
He's blown kisses as if it was some sort
of vintage display. I am back.
Good man, Gary. That was Gary in Uddingston. Your chance to beat the pundit. Will be back at the same time tomorrow night. Pittodrie. There you go. You won't forget that now.
No.
Good wee fact, that.
How do you know this? Who did? You got that one?
It's on Wikipedia.
Producer Andy.
He does that at the weekend. He's in the house all weekend.
For what it's worth, I googled it to double check. Not that I don't trust him or anything. Just thought I'd find out a little bit more. And he's right.
What year was it then?
Oh, I don't know what year it was. Come on.
How can I not remember Callum McGregor? I think it was
a deflection. I was thinking it was maybe an OG.
I watched all of the first half with Alec Ray, and let me tell you, he's mud to watch a football match with.
Shouting and balling.
Shouts and balls.
Yeah. Yep. He gets quite excited. I think excited just about covers it. Right, 01419511025. That is the number you need to get in touch at Clyde SSB on Twitter. What are your thoughts What are your messages of support? Perhaps what are your own experiences with what Hamilton Accies boss Brian Rice is facing today? He's opened up. The club have obviously come out and backed their manager, as is the right thing to do, as you would expect. He reported himself to the Scottish FA for gambling on football. He has now been charged by the game's governing body. He will face a hearing next week. There was a lengthy statement on the club website, who Brian Rice admitting within that he is a gambling addict. I won't be able to read it all, I don't think, because it is very long, but I'll paraphrase. Firstly, I'd like to express my regret to the players, coaching staff, friends, colleagues at Hamilton for the lapse that's prompted me to voluntarily acknowledge breaches of SFA's gambling rules. One of the hardest decisions I've had to take, but in a way the easiest. I've made no secret I've struggled with the disease that is gambling addiction in the past. The reality is I am an addict, and while I'm proud of the fact I've been in recovery from this disease, a key part of the recovery programme is honesty. Honesty to myself and honesty to those who have and who continue to support me, including my family, my football family. At Hamilton, he goes on to say he wrote a letter to the SFA as an admission that my disease has returned, he says. This is all part of his recovery, the honesty accepted. He accepts that a breach of the rules will come with punishment, and I accept that. He's speaking out to remove the stigma attached to this horrible, isolating disease, in the hope that those involved in Scottish football who are similarly in its grasp feel they can seek help and draw strength from my admission.
First of all, I applaud his honesty, because in the 21st century, with some of the odder elements within society, it's not always a great idea to admit publicly to your human failings. So number one, I applaud him for his honesty. Number two, I sympathise with him. I have never known any addiction to gambling. I have never had any liking for gambling. That's just a personal choice. Therefore, I can't imagine what he's going through. But I sympathise with anyone who suffers from an addiction and is trying to be rid of that addiction. So I wish Brian Rice every success, and I applaud him. He'll take his punishment like a man, and then we can only hope that he gets on with the rest of his life minus that particular problem.
Alex Reid, regular listeners to the show will accept that whilst Hugh can't sympathise or can't empathize, speak from experience, you can.
Yeah,
and you've spoken about it on the show in the past. What do you make of Brian Rice's statement and decision today?
I think the fact that he has come out and held his hands up to this issue, it has to be encouraged, Gordon. It's not easy, because the thing is, you get people who will try and use that kind of by actually that admission against you, but they are not really that important, Hugh. The people with common decency will have an understanding that he is seeking help. He knows the road to recovery, because he's already said that he is there. He will get the support from the people at Hamilton, because they do brilliant work behind the scenes from various addictions and their family members as well. So he will get the support from the club, and I think he should get the support by the general public as well, because it is not easy to come out and say, I'm back at this place. And by actually admitting to the governing body as well, I think he's already ahead of the game, because it's when you're isolated to it and you're actually kind of continue to behave like that, this gives him a chance to kick on and get back into recovery and kind of try and get a lid on the gambling.
Wondering if you could explain, or try and explain it, because explaining it's probably very difficult, but try and explain, Alex, to people who don't understand and who think it's really simple and who think you just decide to not bet anymore.
Yeah.
What's it like to be in that grip that Brian Rice speaks of?
It's an absolute nightmare, Gordon. I'll tell you, I hit the group chat today, and people are going, there's a lot of gambling companies around about football and so forth. Now, alcohol, drugs and gambling, the people do one of the three, or all three, and they won't have an issue throughout their life. The problem is when you start affecting your family, you start affecting your work, you start affecting your own mental health and the people around about you, you then have to do something about that. Brian's come out today and admitted it, and by actually doing that, he can stop that kind of behavioural cycle which is affecting him, his family, and he's also said it might be affecting his workplace as well. So by actually doing that, he gives himself a fighting chance to keep all these things in place.
I mean, this is something he's struggled with over a long period of time. He acknowledges as much in the statement.
What about the whole idea of removing the stigma? How difficult is it from your own experience to sort of face up to whatever issues you might be dealing with?
The stigma, no, listen, Gordon, I did this over 20 years ago now, and there was a stigma then because you were fearful of losing your job. The support wasn't quite there, and it was two other players that were in the English Premiership at that time who sought help you. And on the back of that, I thought, well, listen, if these guys are getting support, there's a possibility that I might get support. Mm. And thankfully I did, because it turned my whole life round. Yeah. It gave me an opportunity to continue my career, keep my family on board as well, and start getting my life and my career back up to speed. Now, 20 years fast forward, as of today, across the board, people will be commending Brian for coming out and asking for help and understanding, because I think that's the thing. You know, people go, aye, but this and that. I showed you a tweet earlier on about a guy who had a pop at me for things that happened over two decades ago, and that's why I'm trying to emphasise to people that stuff is no important. They people are no important to me anymore, because the people who know me are actually the ones that matter. They people don't matter.
That's interesting what you said though, because so Brian Rice's statement finishes by saying, I look forward to the future founded on truth and commitment. It's my wish anyone who feels vulnerable, helpless, or hopeless in the grip of this silent yet destructive disease can come forward and seek help. So you actually did come forward as a result of another player doing so. As a result of that example, therefore maybe some good can come of this.
Without a doubt. And because he's a public figure, Gordon, because 4 years prior to me actually stopping, I tried to seek help, and the biggest fear for me was that I would lose my job, I would lose my livelihood. And by Brian doing that, over the years people have seen public figures coming out and admitting they've got an issue, it then bounces on to other people to seek help.
Okay, let's take some calls. Frank is in Kilmarnock. What do you make of what Brian Rice had to say today, Frank? How do you view it from your own perspective?
Thanks, Gordon. Evening, you and Alec. I'm a regular sometimes on the phone, and I was driving home from work, and I heard the story about Brian Rice, and a lot of it resonated with me. And I know a lot of guys have come out, John Hartson, Andy McLaren, Alex, and stuff. So I've got my own personal experiences from it, guys. Stemming back to my early teens, and I've been there. I don't know if Alec has this before, but it's a thing it lives with to the day you die. One of the hardest things is not relapsing.
Absolutely.
And when there's temptation there, you become complacent. And it eats away. Yeah, it's a disease, guys. Yeah, I live with it day to day. I hate it. At times, I hate myself for it, but I've got great support from my family and my friends. And one of the biggest things that we do, you're in the middle of an addiction, and it's any addiction, guys, is you hide it. You're embarrassed, you ball it up, you don't know how to turn, there's shame. But I've reached out. When I do reach out, I get fantastic help. I've done stuff like I've contacted GAM Care, I've contacted GA, I've built up a trusted network. And when you're doing that and you're in that support group, you're in a good place, because you can take positive actions and you stop gambling. And the key thing about gambling or any addiction is each day you do it and stop it, you beat the system as such. But it's tough, guys. It lives with you. It's a poison. It's horrible. And I just think Brian Rice should be commended for what he's done today. He's a brave man. I support him. I'm a Celtic fan. Whether you're a Celtic fan, a Rangers fan, or whoever, I remember when Big Kyle Lafferty came out with a couple of years ago, I tweeted, and I've never seen one of my tweets ever done it. I had tons and tons of Rangers fans saying, well done, big man, for saying it, sharing your own story. Because this has nothing to do with football rivalry, guys. This
no,
is life.
Not. Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And brilliant to Brian, and just any support that's out there. Guys, can I just... My little boy, right, he's only 16. He's got Down syndrome. He really doesn't understand some stuff in life. But things like Ladbrokes on a player's football jersey, which I would never put in my son's, like, he goes Ladbrokes, and he just doesn't understand the concept. It's things like that. We need Scottish football needs to look at itself in the mirror. I know that's where the money comes from, but actually there's a moral choice here. William Hill, Ladbrokes, listen, the more that we promote it, and that's at the end of the day what we're doing, guys, we're promoting it, we're going to have more and more young people.
To be fair, Frank, that's another debate.
And I'll gladly touch upon that debate. I won't sweep it under the carpet. First of all, I applaud you, as I applaud Brian Rice, for your honesty coming forward and telling us about your concerns. And I'm glad that you said you were driving home from work. You know, it hasn't affected your life to the extent that you can't hold down a job. So I'm glad that your life is in order, but you realise that at the back of your mind you've got this particular addiction. I wish you all the very best going forward. With regard to the wider issue of all of our major competitions in this country, the Premiership, Championship, the Scottish Cup and the Betfred Cup, all being sponsored by betting firms, plus Celtic and Rangers, their jerseys both being sponsored by betting firms, I am of the opinion, and this is one man's opinion, that that does not necessarily mean that we are coaxing, encouraging, enticing people into gambling to excess. You can drink responsibly, you can gamble responsibly. It can become a part of your life without consuming your life. So for me, I don't think that because the Cups and the League is sponsored by gambling firms and Celtic and Rangers have gambling firms in their jersey, I don't believe that that is promoting gambling to excess.
Well, Frank, I think you would probably argue against that.
No, I get what you're saying. Listen, any day there's temptation there in all marks of life. I get what you're saying. Yeah, all I would say to you, Hugh, is when I was 15-year-old and I had my first bet, I had it. And when you're promoting it, you raise the exposure. I agree that you can put controls in place, but unfortunately, as it's proven, there's hundreds of thousands of people in the UK that do end up being a compulsive gambler. You don't set out to do it, just like any substance. So I do get what you're saying. It's a tough one. It is a debate that you could go on for the rest of the night, guys. I know you've probably got other callers want to come on, but just there's help out there for anybody else that doesn't know how to do it. And I know I'm going to have friends out there that's listening to me because I'm quite now well listened to that will be saying, God, I didn't know Frank had these issues. So it did take a lot for me to do it. But the reason why I'm doing it is I think even if my phone call's going to help one other individual out there, then it's been worth me, and you can probably hear the nerves in my voice. So thanks, guys.
Well done,
thanks,
Frank.
You for your words.
Frank, take it from
guys.
Me.
Right, no, take care.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you. One of the most important calls we've had in a while, I would suggest. And you called up to praise Brian Rice for his bravery, but you should take plenty praise yourself, Frank in Kilmarnock. Thank you very much for opening up. That can't be easy doing that on here, so we really do appreciate it. That was Frank in Kilmarnock. Jamie's in Knightswood with a continuation of what we've been discussing, and we're going to hear from him next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We have been looking at today's story involving Hamilton head coach Brian Rice, reported himself to the Scottish FA for gambling on football. Let me just say thanks again to Frank and Kilmarnock. A really powerful call just before the break. Stuart McEwen and others praising Frank on Twitter. So you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. You can also phone 01419511025. Let's quickly get your teaser up and running as well, because a lot of people trying to get through on the phones. So Mikey Burns says, can you name 10 players since the 2000 League Cup final that have scored in the League Cup final and also 50 or more international caps for their country?
Henrik Larsson.
Yes.
I can't believe you've just steamed right at me, Henrik.
Barry Ferguson.
No, I don't think he's quite got the 50 caps, does he?
Stephen Davis.
Yes, just 117 caps, I think, for him.
He done okay, that boy.
Yeah,
didn't
not bad.
What about De Boer?
No.
Ooh.
Jackie McNamara?
No.
Prusso?
No.
Averlati?
No.
Robbie Keane?
No.
Roy Keane?
No.
Stephen Naismith?
Johnny Hartson?
Oh my goodness, it's getting worse.
Flo?
Yes.
There you go.
Finally.
Struggling.
Okay, that's 3 of 10. Henrik Larsson, Torre Andrew Flo, Steve Davis. No, since 2000.
It may have been his tail end.
You've got Larsson, Flo and Davis since 2000 League Cup final. 10 players have scored and also more than 50 international caps for their country. Jamie's in Knightswood. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how are you doing, panel?
Hi, Jamie. I know the topic of discussion just before the break slightly stole your thunder, but carry on anyway. I'm sure you've got more to add.
Yeah, slightly. Firstly, I want to well done to Frank as well. It was a very powerful phone call, as you've said. So I think it will help other people hearing that as well. But yeah, the point, I think, and I do disagree with you, I think the fact that all the leagues are sponsored and all the cups are sponsored by betting companies, and it's not that it's forced down your throat as such, but it's everywhere you turn when the game of football's on. And if you're in the pub watching it as well, it's all over TV advertising. So during that 90 minutes, or even before the game and after the game, you hear about betting the whole way through from different companies. And if you're a footballer or even a member of the public who is struggling with gambling and you're getting a constant reminder that that's it there, I think that does make it worse for people to deal with and cope with, and then maybe do bet in private, and then the problems stem from there.
Where do we draw the line though, Jamie? I mean, you said if you're in the pub, if you're in a pub, the temptation to drink is there. You have to exercise restraint.
You're actively going to the pub to have a drink for many people. Whereas if you're watching a game of football and betting companies, three or four adverts within 2 or 3 minutes will come up. So that's filtering through straight away. Whereas to me, the main point is more around actual game day at the stadium, or the fact that we're sponsored by betting companies. That's a big impact on people who do have betting issues.
Yeah, and Jamie, the thing is, so many people agree with you, Jamie. I'm noticing it on Twitter and on the calls. How important? Because I don't know if we ever move towards it. You know, a blanket removal of these types of things. My guess would be not, but I don't know. That's just one man's opinion, as Hugh would say. How important is maybe the idea of regulation and tightening things up, Jamie? Because I'm not actually sure if people have noticed, but this season, the Ladbrokes message, if you like, and they sponsor our leagues, isn't actually visible during a game anymore. There was a commitment they made in the summer to remove all the, you know, the perimeter boarding, the hoardings around. I think those now say things like, is it bet regret, or, you know, safe gambling messages rather than the name of the firm. And that's just one firm. It's just an example that springs to mind. I'm sure that was all scaled back in the summer, so you actually don't see that message during the 90 minutes, Jamie. Is that the type of thing we could maybe move towards?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's more the fact that I think it's good that they are obviously committing to try and help people, because I do gamble from time to time. I don't have a problem with it, but I know many people do very easily. But the fact that it is called the Ladbrokes Premiership, like, that straight away you associate betting with it already, with a game of football. So many people will be going to a football game or players with betting in the back of their mind. And I think if you take that away, then that might help those people prevent that.
How do we actually prove that though? How do you prove that puts betting into the back of their mind? And Jamie,
well, to be fair though, Jamie and other people are, perhaps some are speaking from their own experiences. So.
Yeah, but listen, I cannot repeat often enough.
I think we can all agree it's clearly a difficult issue. It's not it's not a simple one. And everyone admits that.
I cannot repeat often enough that anyone who has that problem, you have my absolute sympathy, and I hope you can work through that problem. But I'm trying to get fairness here. If Celtic's jersey and Rangers' jersey feature the name of a betting concern on the front, as they do, how can you absolutely prove the direct correlation between that and somebody having a bet?
Oh, you can listen to people who've been there and tell you that it doesn't help.
Yeah,
if that's what they say.
Yeah, but I can also listen to tens of thousands that it doesn't affect.
Jamie in Knightswood, thank you very much for your call. 01419511025. James is in Greenock. James, anything you'd like to add? I don't know if you're speaking from personal experience or from an outsider looking in. What do you make of today's developments with Brian Rice?
Hi guys, sorry, first of all, yeah. Just to touch on it, I spoke to you guys maybe last year sometime, when Ladbrokes were doing some road shows or something. I spoke to you about the kind of gambling and speaking to people, and I just think it's probably the best thing you guys are ever going to do, because if you'd have kept it to yourself and you kept gambling and kept going and you get in a bigger hole, you eventually isolate yourself from everybody. All of a sudden, you know, you maybe not tell people things you go in. So the fact that guys actually voluntarily went to the SFA and actually said, look guys, I have a problem here, it's probably the best thing a guy's ever going to do.
I hope you don't mind me asking, James, are you speaking from personal experience? It just sounds like that you are.
I was a gambling addict for years. Yeah, I mean, I'm going back now. I've not gambled for 5 years, so but going back in the day. And you know, it's funny, people probably think that I would have disagreed with what you just said there, but he's right. I mean, as I said about kind of pubs and that, you can't punish thousands and thousands upon thousands of people because somebody has got a gambling addiction or somebody's got a drinking addiction. You know,
James, when I was a kid in the 1950s, television came into people's living rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And horse racing came on the telly at the weekend in the 1950s. And I remember my father up and down the stairs, betting shop, up to the house, see how it got on, back down the betting shop, and so on and so forth. Now, you know, you can't take television away because it shows horse racing any more than you can prove that having Daffabet on the front of a Celtic jersey makes Celtic supporters go to the bookie.
Well, James is speaking from his own personal experience and in his own mind that wasn't something that he thinks would be particularly beneficial. James, on this idea of sort of opening up, talking about it, removing the stigma, how much has that helped you in the past?
Well, it was the best, as I said, but I talked about Brian as well, the best thing I've ever done. It was the best thing I've ever done. Because I eventually got to a stage where I can isolate myself from everybody. You're in the bookies, you're up the road. You're in the bookies, you're up the road. You're skint, you've no food. You know, when you're kind of scraping up 50 pence to go into Morrison's to buy, you know, whatever's there, kind of cheap. It's,
again, if this is intrusive, just tell me. But what made you change?
It was just as I was saying, I was kind of talking to somebody. It was actually my mum I spoke to. I phoned her up one night and basically just broke down on the phone for about five. I don't think I said a word for about 4 or 5 minutes. And then kind of had a conversation where I told them what was happening. And I just think when you tell somebody, the weight just comes off your shoulders. Because if you keep it a secret for that long, you're gambling, but at the same time, you're actually trying harder to keep it a secret.
Sick is your secrets, James. That's what they say. And by actually sharing it, then you release that burden here.
How do you
say that again?
You're only as sick as your secrets.
Right.
So by keeping that within, that's your sickness. So once you release that and share it with another individual, then you can start getting, as all these guys have said, then have a support network.
How do you look back on that period now then, James? You mentioned 5 years. Brian Rice speaks at length in his statement about, I think, you know, the word relapse is used. How do you feel about where you're at with these struggles at the moment?
I've not got a problem, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm saying I've not gambled for 5 years, but I mean, 5 years before that, I told myself I wasn't going to gamble every time I lost money. So, I mean, there was probably a long process where I said I was going to do it and then never, and kept kind of breaking down. But the fact that it's went 5 years, I've kind of done a lot outside, like kind of the football coach and all that, and I've managed to pay for courses and all that kind of stuff. This is stuff I should have done years ago if I wasn't losing money. You know, the fact that I've got a kind of aim in my head is keeping me away from it, you know. But I think I don't think I'd ever do it again, because to be honest with you, if I walked in a bookies now and put even a pound in a puggy, I would probably just gamble then for, you know, I would lose everything I had. And that's what keeps me going, because we're talking about with you as well. I'd love to be able to walk in a bookies and put a five on a coupon on a Saturday and walk back out.
Can't do it, man.
But I can't do it, because I know as soon as I do it, it's just going to trigger something. And I'm going to fall back into that hole, you know. So it's I don't think, I'll touch with anyway, that I would never go back to it, to be honest.
Good on you. The hope, James, is that maybe someone listens to Brian Rice and has the similar sort of bravery to come forward and confront what they're dealing with. And you never know, your story might have the same impact. So what would you, when you look back on that sort of discussion that you had with your mum, and you said you didn't speak for 5 minutes, that has been, do you look back on that then, is that still very much the definitive moment?
No, that phone call changed my whole life. And it might sound a bit dramatic, you know, but that phone call changed my whole life. Because if I didn't make that phone call, then, as I said a minute ago, I would have been in the bookies the next day, and the next day, and the next day. But the fact that somebody found out about it, the fact, as I say, that you tell somebody, and it just, honestly, the weight just comes off your shoulders, because all of a sudden, as Alex just said there, it's important as well. The support network you create.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, why...
Mentally, it's hard. Mentally, it kills you. So as soon as you tell somebody, all of a sudden, it's like the secret's out now.
That's why that's why I have to applaud Brian Rice, because Brian Rice isn't a young man. Brian Rice is a 56-year-old man, the last time I looked. And he knows that he's heading towards the latter part of his life, and he doesn't want the latter part of his life to be affected by this disease. And I think this is a cry for help from Brian Rice at the age of 56, 57, whatever he is, because it is late in the game, to use that expression, for him. And he's got to do it in a lasting and meaningful way now.
Hugh, you actually touched on a really relevant point in terms of age there, because you're obviously saying Brian's 56. And part of the process and things is there'll be people out there in their 20s and think, oh, if I stop going to bookies or casinos or whatever it is, or horse racing, they'll think their life's going to change. It's never too early, mm-hmm. and it's never too late to change that misery that these people are into. So yeah. I think it's important to recognise it doesn't matter. If you've got a problem, reach out.
James, again, following on from Frank the last time, another really brave call from you, James. Thank you very much for sharing your experiences, and you never know, that might just make the difference to someone else out there. So thank you again to James in Greenock. Sean is on the line. He's a Hamilton Accies fan from Hamilton. Sean, I'm sensing an outpouring of support for your head coach tonight.
Yeah, of course. First and foremost, I'm a Hamilton fan, but I'm also Hamilton's supporter liaison officer. On behalf of the fans, there is not one person who isn't behind the gaffer at this precise moment in time. The messages in which I've saw on message boards, social media, to the club, every single person is behind him right now. And not only the fact that he's had the bravery and the honesty to come out and admit that he has a problem, that he will open the door, I believe, for many others, whether it be players, coaches, staff of football clubs, or indeed football fans, who it doesn't just happen to the common man. It happens to people, whether they be the head coach of a Premiership side, whether they be a high-class professional at whatever job they do in the city. It happens to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, Sean, is that the hope? Because this is not about football allegiances, but I'm thinking particularly within the Hamilton support, and you mentioned your role as a supporter liaison at Hamilton Accies. If there is, you know, these clubs are built around the foundation of trying to be, you know, community clubs and be there right in the heart of their community, dealing with issues that affect their fans the most. So you would like to think that if there are any Hamilton fans out there with similar struggles, then seeing that the manager come out and hold his hands up to admit what he's dealing with might just inspire them to do the same.
100%, Gordon. The fact of the matter is, Hamilton Accies is the beating heart of Hamilton. It truly is. The work that we do in the community is incredible. From Gambling Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, to the charities involved with the club, in terms of families that just go through terrible times in their life. To see the joy that the club gives to people like that, the door's always open at Hamilton, always open. But it's not just open to Hamilton fans, it's open to everybody. Because what we do, and this is what we do, and we'll help one of our own now, and we'll show that we can get the gaffer through this, and that it's a problem that we can get on top of. But the ultimate bit of that is, Gordon, the SFA need to step up now. The end of the day, the hypocrisy of it is the club, the competitions that we have are sponsored by betting companies. Stop taking their money and get rid of them. Okay. Because at the end of the day, the man goes to his work every single day, he's surrounded by it. And that's not just him. I imagine there's going to be plenty others around it.
Sean, some really important points covered. Thank you very much, Sean, giving us the sort of inside track on the way the Hamilton Accies fans are feeling today. So thanks again to Sean. We're actually going to hear from Hamilton's chief executive, Colin McGowan, in just a second. Quickly, have you got any more on the teaser? You've got Larson, Flo and Davis.
Joe Ledley.
Yes, well done.
Lustig.
No.
Davy Weir.
No.
McGrew.
No, you're just rhyming off all sorts now.
Brown.
I was hoping there would be a bit more of a calculated approach to this. No.
If you don't have a go,
try and think. League Cup finals, you've already got
You've got the two most recent ones in Davis and Ledley. I'll give you some more thinking time. We'll hear from Hamilton Chief Exec Colin. Chief Exec, easy for me to say, Colin McGowan next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, into the final parts of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The guys are trying to solve Mikey Burns' teaser that he sent in. It's can you name 10 players since the 2000 Scottish League Cup final that have scored in the final and also over 50 international caps for their country? Good response to this on Twitter. The guys have got Henrik Larsson, Torre Andre Flo, Joe Ledley, Stephen Davis.
Vidar Rusev.
Where on earth did you pluck that one from? Because given the start that you made, I thought we would be here until Christmas trying to get that one.
I remember when he scored and I thought, wow, he scored a goal.
How about Malpal Magidi?
Yes.
Lovely.
2009.
I'm still waiting for him to retire. Get a wee slap on him in the L5s.
Well, this is after he knocked your teeth out. Yeah. That's right.
What about Sammy Rass?
No.
Kenny Miller?
Yes. Three to go. You're doing not too badly.
Did you not play in one?
Did you play in the 2005
I did, yes.
final?
Yes.
Try and think who scored.
Well, it wasn't Moros. Sotirios Kyriakos.
Yes, well done. You've only got two to get. Actually, quite impressed by your own relatively low standards. It's not too bad at all. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Great response coming into the discussion. Nothing to do with us, let's be honest. Some really brave personal accounts coming through on the phones. Really, truly grateful that some of you feel brave enough to come and share your own gambling experiences. Emma says, the gent talking about his gambling on air tonight deserves a medal. Absolutely encouraging to hear men talk about their feelings on the show tonight. Kev says, very interesting discussion. After the admission of Brian Rice, I commend for his honesty and courage. Anyone out there who thinks they have a problem with gambling, there is an amazing support network available. And I'm talking from experience, says Kev. Let's hear from Hamilton Chief Executive Colin McGowan. He says Brian Rice has succumbed to the disease of addiction after his Scottish FA charges today. He also says he would support a football gambling amnesty to help clean up the game.
Brian came to me. He made the decision to self-report, which we done. He realised that he had relapsed. He was ready in recovery for the disease of addiction, was doing well. But he relapsed, he realised what he'd done, came and to try to put things right, and he understands now there's likely to be a punishment. But the most important thing is that he's back in recovery. By far, that's the most important thing. The right support is absolutely imperative. But Brian knows exactly what he's to do. It is a disease. It's some diseases you don't see, and the disease of addiction is particularly destructive to not just to the person that's caught up in the shadow of addiction, but to even family members. But Brian knows what's to be done, and the club will be fully supporting him. I'm going to propose that there's some form of amnesty where it can allow the players, the officials and whoever's caught up with this terrible disability and disease, they can maybe come forward without fear of reprisals and maybe address their issues, get their betting accounts closed down, anybody that addiction's causing them bother. We're not talking about Brian breaking the rule. Of course, there's a rule of football being broken to protect the integrity of the game. But at the same time, he was succumbing to the disease of addiction. And that's where the difference lies. This isn't somebody disobeying rules. This is somebody caught up with the horrors of addiction. A huge difference. And if there is an amnesty that allows the players to and officials to sit down and look at their gambling habits, then it may be a great thing. It could well, as I say, I think we could turn what Brian's experience into something really, really positive for Scottish football.
That's absolutely brilliant for Colin there, what he's actually saying, because it gives people an opportunity to come forward, recognise, and then get the actual help without, because people may well be sitting there going, oh, the ramifications come away, by being punished through the governing body. I think it's a very good, and I often say this, the work that Hamilton do regarding addiction is first class.
Yeah, well, just because we are slightly short on time, Alex, and I think it is always a lot more powerful when someone is speaking from experience. What would your sort of final message be to anyone who does recognise these struggles and doesn't quite know what to do or where to turn?
Gordon, depending what their vice is, if it's gambling, you've got GA for starters, you know, Gamblers Anonymous. If it's alcohol, you've got Alcoholics Anonymous. You've got Cocaine Anonymous. You've got Narcotics Anonymous. There are multiple agencies where you can reach out, you can call. It's confidential, and they will put you in the right path to get the relevant help. And listen, there's guys on the other night. I think it's been a really, really a brilliant show tonight, purely for the point of view as people are reaching out, and it's that actual talking. In this modern day, particularly, I don't want to say for men, women, it doesn't matter. Just reach out, there'll be plenty of support for you.
Because one of the previous callers used a phrase, it was actually his mum that he called, and yep. he said something like, that call changed my life. Is that the size of the action that you do you recognise that when he said that?
Gordon, I made a phone call one Monday morning about 7:30 in the morning to Peter Reid, and as I said, 4 years previous, I actually went and sought help, and they said to me, you need residential. And at that point, I went, no danger. I'll lose my livelihood. I'll be all over the papers. And fear stopped me. And I had to go through another 4 years of misery. And by actually reaching out, it was the best thing. And when you look at all these guys that have called in tonight, they've reached out to someone. And for me, that's the most important thing. Reach out, break the cycle of that loneliness and in that misery. And by doing that, you can then start the path of recovery.
What it tells me, Hugh, is that this is affecting a lot of people out there, because yeah. every call that came through since we started was either from direct, you know, first hand experience or from close experience. The number of tweets, you know, this is just one show. We can clearly continue this until midnight, the number of people that are getting in touch. So it tells you that it's not a small problem.
Now, gambling is endemic in Scottish society and in Scottish football in particular. Now, it was interesting with the call and asking for an amnesty there. That is for governing bodies to sort out. But clearly, we do have a problem within the game. And the higher up the game you are, the more money you're losing, obviously. So it is time to have a fresh look at it all.
Okay, let's finish on a lighter note by having a laugh at you two trying to come up with the final answers to the teaser. Thank you to Mikey. If you've got any questions and you'd want to hear them on the show, fulltime@clyde1.com. You've got two to get. Go.
Loving Krantz.
No.
Are they both Old Firm players?
Yes. One of each. The Rangers won. What a career this guy had. Now, I'm mostly before he came to Rangers.
Ray Wilkins?
No, so it's since 2000, remember?
Yeah, right, okay.
Not to say he wasn't good when he got here, but he's notable for what he did prior to that.
Mark Haley?
No. He's got long hair like Canidia. Mark Haley, yes. And the Celtic won maybe the new Polish signing, Patrick Klamala, will try and follow in this guy's footsteps.
Jackie? Jackanowski?
Too early.
Polish. Come on, you.
I'm going to put you out your
misery. No, initials.
MZ.
Magic Zarafsky.
Oh, well done. That was a really difficult clue. Had to give you then. Right, thank you to Hugh and Alex. Thank you for all your calls and tweets, as always. But in particular tonight, a really special thank you for everyone who was brave enough to come on and open up about their own personal struggles in response to the Brian Rice story. Really, truly appreciated. It really is. We are back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock. Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are here. Callum Gallagher's up next. He'll look after you.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.